Generation Z forever. They would have triggers forevermore. I'd be coming up here, and I'm coming up, and I'm going, if this rapture stuff is for free, oh, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. So I'm coming up. I go right here. The guy looks at me and says, oh, Sammy, the Lord says, you look like a little boy, but he sees you as a man. Everything I'm doing right now was laid out to me on that day. Again, from a mathematical perspective, the mathematical probability of what he laid out coming to fruition, not in some sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy or Hawthorne effect. The fact that I never made a call on it, he looks at me, says everything from the preaching to the ministry to the all of that. There was a young lady in the audience right here seated who saw it. I was about 12 years old. She was right here a little bit older than I. She was seated and she saw it. She said, if it's true, I'm going to wait for that boy to grow up and marry him. That's my wife of 33 years. So if you're single and God gives somebody else a word, I'm kidding. So this is the way he concludes it. He says, oh, a couple of hundred people, we had him on television, on TBN and Daystar recently, so you could watch the interview on YouTube. Bernie Gillow says, oh, wow, the Lord says, you, Sammy, will be praying for presidents of the United States of America. That's how I became an advisor for George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. I never made a call, never sent an email. I never walked around going like, God gave me a word, I have to be an advisor to the president. No, because God's promises are yes and amen. Why am I telling you this? Whatever God has promised you and your family and your children's children, when heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it. How many believe he will fulfill his purpose in our lives? Psalm 138, verse 8. I believe that for you and your family member. So that's how it, what does it have to do with speaking truth with love? Fast forward, after advising George W. Bush, Barack Obama brought me in. Again, not that I don't have to vote for them in order to advise them. Some of you are already judging me. Repent. So I do have a biblical rubric that I confine to. I will only vote for candidates that support the following rubric. And I will never sacrifice that because my integrity is much more important than my influence. So George W. Bush brings me in. And then after that, Barack Obama has me participating in his inaugural prayer service at St. John's Episcopal Church. And so I'm here with Barack Obama and in that service. And I participate, but it's a private ceremony, the one before the big stage, right? Myself, Rick Warren, Yolanda Adams, Charles Blake, T.D. Jakes. So we do that, right? So then years later, fast forward, right after 2016 election, I get this call. I'm driving with my wife from San Francisco to Sacramento. We went to, my parents are from Puerto Rico. So we were eating mofongo in a restaurant. Mofongo is a great thing, by the way. You crush the plantains, you put shrimp, you put garlic, lots of garlic. Very anointing. Just don't talk to someone. They will fall back. They will get slain. So we're driving back home. We're San Francisco, Sacramento. It's after the 2016 election, and we're en route, and I get this call, unknown number on my Bluetooth. I usually don't pick it up because I know it's probably the IRS, so I ignore it. because you don't, unknown number. Holy Spirit prompts me, no joke, and says, pick it up. So I pick up the call. I'm driving on Route 80, home to Sacramento. Boop. Said, we're looking for Reverend Rodriguez. I really thought it was the IRS then, right? Or it could be my cousin Paco from the Bronx. We all have a cousin. No, we don't. Know your audience. Okay. So I validate it. This is what it is. We're calling you from the Senate Inaugural Committee, the Presidential Transition Team. Reverend Rodriguez, yes, sir. The President-elect would like you to participate in his inauguration. So I'm looking at my wife, and we're like, wow, what an honor. I mean, we're driving, so I'm going like, I go, sir, I'm honored. Tell the President-elect that I am really blessed and honored. What would you like me to do? Participate, he says. I go, yes, wow, I really am honored. What would you like me to do? He says, participate. I'm trying to get a feel. Is it the private one, the public one? Wait. So I go, would you like me to pray? He says, yes. Would you like me to read scripture? He says, why not? As a good preacher and pastor, there was a third question I wanted to ask, but I didn't. Would you like me to raise the offering? But I didn't. So finally, he got a hold of like why my questions. He went, Reverend Rodriguez, this is the one on the Capitol steps. Over 1 billion people will be watching around the world. What say ye? And I go like, well, listen, I went, I'm honored. This is what I said. I'm going to need some time to pray about this. Silence. He went, I'm sorry. You need time to pray about praying. It's a great theological conundrum, by the way. And so I went like, yes, sir. He went, awkward silence again. You saw the inflection shift. How much time do you need? And I'm looking for support here. My wife is no longer looking at me, which is both a sign and a wonder. And I'm going, 3 weeks? He went, you need 3 weeks to pray about praying. I go, yes, sir. He goes, all right. I guess we'll call you back in 3 weeks. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Boop. I look at my wife. She's no longer looking at me. I go, honey, please. She turns around. I go, she goes, what are you doing? I go, honey, call Pastor Carla, our intercessors. We have to pray. The reason is I pastor a church in California by the grace of God that is very diverse. It's 40% Caucasian, which is his code word for white. Google it. Shoot. 40% African-American, which means black. And 20% Latino, Native Americans, and Asians. And we have a Spanish service in each of our campuses. It's a beautiful church. It looks like heaven. My mind said, if I do this, in light of the whole nation being divided, even though I did it for President Obama, if I do this, I'm going to lose a portion of my church. So I was thinking layoffs, all of that. I really was. My wife looked at me and said, what are you doing? Now, she's from Puerto Rico, so she has a double anointing. So, and I went, pero que tú hablas, que tú estás hablando en este momento, porque estás preocupada con esto. And she goes, pero que tú haces, yo estuve ahí cuando esto pasó. Y yo le dije a ella, pero como que tú estuviste ahí. And she, y ella dijo, yo estuve allí, I was there. I go, what do you mean you were there? She goes, well, you don't need to pray. I go, why not? That's like sacrilegious. She goes, no, I was there. Where were you? I was there when you were a kid, when God said you would end up praying for President of the United States of America. She said, you don't need to pray to see it as God's will. You need to pray for God to fill you with the right words in your assignment on that day. It's about speaking truth with love. The mantle. So the day came. I'm about to go up there. The day came. And I'm. Can you have that picture up there, please? Put the picture of the inauguration. So there I am speaking over first Latino in American history, evangelical, first all of that. That's all God doing it. First person ever addicted to Starbucks. The point to you is right here. So there you have the Obamas, the Bidens, the Trumps here. The Clintons were here. I was seated and hiding behind the bushes. So I was back there behind George W. Bush. And I'm here. I'm about to go up. This has all been documented, been written about and all that. So I'm here. I'm about to go up. And I'm like this. I want to tell you, integrity is everything. I could tell you I had all the confidence. Oh, praise be the Lord, I felt so great. Dude, no. This was me. I was, when they called me, I'm like this. It was bad. I was about to, I'm freaking out. This is like a billion people around the world. All the presidents are there. The Supreme Court is here wearing funny hats. It was weird. So I'm going up. My daughter texts me, Lauren, my youngest daughter. My kids never disrespected me. My youngest daughter texts me right there. Right there. This is the text. I'm about to go up now, mind you. Dad, shut your mouth. As a preacher, first thing I said was spiritual warfare. The devil shows up right before your greatest breakthrough. So I started rebuking. I go, devil, you're a liar. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. No, you're not going to distract me. Why would my daughter disrespect me right before I go up? So I text her back, and I go, pardon me, exclamation point. And she writes back and says, no, Dad, you're on Fox News. Your mouth is completely open. You are nodding off right now. You need to close your mouth. So it seems I was falling asleep, and the camera got me, and I was... So she was telling me nicely, though, but... 48 hours before, this is Truth with Love, the mantle. A reporter looks at me of a magazine whose name you'll recognize. I worked with this reporter beforehand on a number of things. Reporter looked at me and said, Sam, call me Sammy. Tell me you're not going to do this. And I go like, you don't understand because you weren't there when I was a kid. I have no choice. This is in spite of Sammy. God ordained this to happen. This is his assignment upon me. So I have to do this. She went, you shouldn't. You're both on CNN and Fox. You wrote the book called The Lamb's Agenda. Both sides like you. You do this, you're going to alienate. I go, but I did it for the previous guy. They went like, yeah, that already happened. But you can't do this. I go like, I'm going to do it. She went, all right, if you're going to do this, please promise me you're not going to mention the name. I go, what? Sammy, you do know the name hasn't been mentioned for 12 years. I go, what? The last person to mention the name was Billy Graham in 2004. I go, what do you mean after the 2004 election? What do you mean? She goes, there's an unwritten rule after Graham that people would not mention the name, that if you're going to pray, conclude the prayer in the name of love, hope, faith, if you have to say God, but don't mention the name. And I looked at her and went like, 12 years? She went, 12 years. Are you going to tell me you're not going to break it? You're not going to break it. Tell me you're not going to mention the name. And I went, watch. So it was my turn, and I'm walking up. I get here, and so help me. You can watch it on YouTube. The Holy Spirit hit me. A kid from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, that does not deserve to be there. Only there by the grace of God. Only there because my mama said there's a God in heaven who has a purpose for your life, who spoke into me, constantly, and said God has a purpose for your life. I was there, 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God alone. And I get there and I read from Matthew 5, the presidents were here. All of a sudden, I conclude from Matthew 5, and I conclude, I'm about to walk away, and the Holy Spirit says, do it. Do it, Sammy, do it. The mantle fell upon me, so help me, no more nervousness. I wasn't shaking. With holy authority, I looked at the camera, knowing very well that right there in 2017, January, all around the world, people were streaming on the major television networks of Europe and Asia, the Middle East, nations all around the world were streaming live. So I looked at the cameras and I said, I'm about to walk. God says, do it. And I said, respectfully, I make this prayerful declaration in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, y'all gotta YouTube this. The president shouted, amen. Look it up. The president said, amen. The members of Congress started going, amen. The audience started going, amen. Everywhere they were saying, it's a Jesus fest. It's a Jesus fest. They mentioned Jesus. There are nations that heard the name of Jesus mentioned for the very first time. I got texts from all over the world. You said Jesus. We heard Jesus. Why did the world react like that? Why did the world? You should have seen the reporters, the newspaper articles. Oh, it became a Jesus freak festival. Jesus was the highlight of the, and they were doing it in a critical way. Jesus was the highlight. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why did everybody respond like that? Believe it or not. Hey, listen, Louisiana. There is still power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of. I said there is power in the name of. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is breakthrough in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, lift up your hands.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
There are generational blessings, multi-generational blessings in the name of Jesus. Your family will be saved in Jesus' name. Acts 16:31. You go from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You are blessed and highly favored, anointed and appointed in the name of Jesus. Romans 8:30, with your hands lifted high. That name is the name above every other name. It is the name to whom which every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. No other name given unto man through by which salvation has come unto all mankind, but the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and there they are saved. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Nothing is more powerful. I'm going to say it. There's no AI. There's no artificial intelligence. There's no technology. Nothing is more powerful than the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody praise like you believe it and give God glory. Stand with me. You are standing. There's power in that name. Our job is to exalt that name, elevate that name, proclaim that name. Oh, there's power in that name. I sense the Lord. We're about to see this nation and the nations filled with the glory of the risen Christ. We are about to see that name lifted high. There's power in that name. The mantle of the Spirit. The mantle of drought, fire, and rain. The mantle of speaking truth with love. The mantle of when heaven starts and hell cannot stop it. Elijah had his moment. Just like I had my moment, Elijah had his apex moment. Mount Carmel. I had my moment, not to be compared to Elijah, but on the steps of the Capitol, where I was told not to, but I did lift up the name of Jesus. So we all have these moments. We all have these moments. Will we be silent? Again, this is what happened. Jezebel finds out what took place. And her tweet, in 24 hours, you will die. 24 hours, you will die. In 24 hours, you will die. I have a question for you. What would be your expectation of the prophet Elijah? He prayed for a drought, and it took place. He prayed for fire, and fire came down. He prayed for rain, and it rained. So he gets a tweet from Jezebel, right? What would you expect him to do? He got a message from Jezebel. What would you expect him to do? Every time Elijah prays, what happens? God answers. So he gets this message from Jezebel. What would you expect him to do? Pray. Every time I pray, God answers. But no, he freaks out. He suffers fear, anxiety, and depression. He leaves the ministry. Go ahead, read it. He literally tells God, deuces, I'm out. Ends up under a broom tree. God has to feed him. Ends up on the side of a mountain where God literally asks verbatim, quote, Elijah, what are you doing here? When God asks what you're doing there, you're probably lost. Why? Because there is a battle. The battle is between your mind and your mantle. The battle is between your mind and your mantle. The number one battle is not between Republicans and Democrats, donkeys and elephants. It's between the serpent and the lamb. It's between your mind and your mantle. The number one battle is between the thoughts that run through your head and the calling of God upon your life. The real battle is between your memories and your imagination. Between fear and faith, trauma and testimony, drama and destiny. But how many here know the battle has already been won? Come on, how many know the battle has already been won? 1 Corinthians 15:57. Christ is my victory. Romans 8:37. We are more than. You have that victory. So this is what happened. 24 hours passed. 24 hours, you're going to die. 24 hours passed. Elijah did not die. 48 hours passed. 72 hours passed. A week passed. Elijah did not die. What if I tell you a month passed? Elijah did not die. A year passed, Elijah did not die. 10 years passed, Elijah did not. Jezebel said, I swear by my God, in 24 hours, you're going to be dead. 100 years passed. What? Elijah did not die. What if I tell you 1,000 years passed? What are you talking about, Willis? 1,000 years passed. Guess who did not die? Elijah did not. It's been approximately 2,800 years since Jezebel said, you're going to die. And guess who has yet to die? The Bible says Elijah and Elisha were walking together. 2 Kings 2:11. When a chariot of fire showed up and separated them. And then a whirlwind took him up. Ha ha! He never died. He never died. He never died. He never died. What does that mean for you? Why am I sharing this with you? It doesn't matter what hell has declared upon you, upon your family, upon your marriage, your children. When heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it. Can anybody here come in agreement with me? Whatever hell has declared, the opposite will take place. Y'all missed that. Whatever hell has declared upon you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, your children, your children's children, even your generation, the opposite will take place. If you come in agreement, lift up your hands. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who called you is faithful to do it. Hebrews 10:23, he is faithful to keep his promise. Luke 1:37, the word of God never fails. The opposite will take place. Why? Because when your integrity is more important than your influence, nothing can stop you. When you are driven by anointing rather than ambition, nothing can stop you. When your hunger for righteousness is greater than your fear of criticism, nothing can stop you. And when your praise is louder than your pain, let me say that one more time. When your praise speaks louder than your pain. Come on, Bethany. When your praise speaks louder than your pain, nothing can stop you. Somebody praise like there's a mantle on you and your family and your children and your children's children. Pastor, come up here. If you got this word, lift up one hand. If you receive the mantle of the Spirit, the mantle of drought, fire, and rain, the mantle of speaking truth with love in the name of Jesus, the mantle of when heaven starts and hell cannot stop it, raise both hands. As I pass it on to Pastor, I have one final biblically substantiated query for you. I sense the Lord here. Elijah's spiritual son was Elisha. Is there anything in the Bible that says that Elisha inherited Elijah's depression? What about his fear? What about his anxiety attacks? What does the Bible say Elisha inherited from Elijah? Anybody know? The mantle? Great news. Your children and your children's children and your children's children's children will not inherit your sins. Our children will not inherit our anxiety, our fear, our depression, our trauma, or our drama. Our children and our children's children will inherit the mantle of anointing of God ordained purpose. Father, in the name of Jesus, activate these mantles upon each and every person here. The mantle now is through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. I pray that every single person here will rise up as an Elijah and Elisha with this mantle in the midst of this broken world. We're not fighting people. We're fighting principalities and powers of darkness, Ephesians 6. But we have the power to overcome, Luke 10:19, in the finished work of Christ. So today, we release these mantles upon each and every person by the authority of heaven. May the strength of the Father, the grace of the Son, the anointing of the Holy Spirit make this season the season of the mantle upon you and your family. Hey, Bethany, let's do one thing together in the name of Jesus. Like never before, are you ready? Let's go change the world. God bless you and God keep you.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle.
Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary. The promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary. The promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed. It's so filled with God's power and spirit. It will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.